planning board found that it's not somebody else's motor vehicle, but a motor vehicle related to the residence. And in other words, not for general storage of stuff. Even though most people store stuff in their garage, but that's not how it's defined in the ordinance.
Right.
And the only reason I brought this up is because it came up with I wouldn't have even.
If it is not viewed then as a private garage, then it's not considered an accessory use.
It's another principal use. You would need another D1 variance. Mm-hmm. That's my point.
Yeah, well, if that is the interpretation, I don't think that we can make the case on that, obviously.
Yeah. And you didn't notice for it anyway, but...
I probably had my catch-all clause, but nonetheless, I really don't see, positive criteria for use of a garage for car storage. We were talking about asking for a variance for that, but if you look at it as a D1 variance, I really don't see how we can make the case on
that. Right, so I'm looking at it as a D1.
If that is the interpretation, then...
Well, this board would have... I mean, this board is entitled to issue its own interpretation. In fact, this board's interpretation... I'm not going to say it's more important then, but this board's interpretation would be binding, actually, on the planning board. The planning board's interpretation is not binding on you. Why do I say that? Because NJSA 40:55D-70B says that the Board of Adjustment is the board that makes interpretations. The planning board can interpret something when it's deciding whether or not it has jurisdiction over an application, but once you make an interpretation, it's binding on them. So you could... have a contrary interpretation.
There's another route on this one, and I'm not necessarily suggesting this is the way to go, but don't ask the question tonight. Go see the zoning officer.
Well, listen, with all good faith, we're going to tell the zoning officer tomorrow. I mean, we have to once we hear it. So,
well,
I know, but...
I don't know what his interpretation is.
That's true.
I mean, if he, because we've not had a full and fair hearing
on that issue.
Interpretation here, right?
That's true.
If you went to the zoning officer and said, hey, give me your ruling on this, who knows what he would say?
Right. Who knows?
If you get an answer from him you don't like, you could come back here for an appeal. We would have a full hearing on an interpretation. That's a case for another day, though. So, do you disagree with that?
I agree with that.
Right. Well, let me be clear, though, on what the planning board's interpretation is. I mean,
it doesn't forget the planning board.
Forget about it.
All right. This is a great idea. For tonight, just don't ask for any relief, and you're going to say until and unless you have permission to use the garage for something other than vehicles related to the apartment, you're only going to use it for vehicles related to the apartment. But there's not going to be, if the board grants the D1 use variance, there's going to be no condition about those garages at all. And start with the zoning officer. Your chairman is right.
Very good.
Okay.
Don't ask.
Yeah.
That's a good resolution. Let someone else decide.
Right. You don't ask. They don't tell. Go to the zoning officer.
Wherever you're best.
Okay.
Very good.
Too many years here. Okay, other questions for the applicant before we begin deliberation?
I'm not going to offer a closing statement because I thought Mr. Block really summarized our case well, and you've heard it all here tonight, so it's fresh in your mind, unless there's something you need to hear.
Can you refresh my memory on the parking in front of the house? Is that paved or is it paved? And the driveway is not.
Driveway is paved.
It is paved.
Yeah.
Then the gravel goes back to the garages?
Goes to the accessory buildings, yeah.
Okay, so it's paved and then gravel.
Yeah,
okay.
But the driveway for the tenants would, is all paved.
I just can't see the parking in front.
I know.
I was most interested in that.
Okay. Anything else before we begin deliberation? Okay, that's it for testimony. Somebody want to wade into the water on this one first?
Wade into the what?
Wade into the water. You want to offer? You want to offer an opinion on the merits of the argument? You don't have to go first if you don't want. Is anyone trying to go first?
Are you looking at me?
No, not at all. I
would say the merits of the application, I believe, for the testimony was given, the possibility of not future subdivision of this property is a big plus. The area is definitely there. I realize there's wetlands. There's a lot of open space that's going to be left. It's adjacent to the VR zone. Within 1,000 feet, probably within 2,000 feet or less, there's dual occupancy of a couple of other buildings right on the main road, the county road. Mm-hmm. I think it would work as proposed. The only question I have is this thing with the zoning officer and the third use or second use, per se.
But don't comment on it.
Okay. As is proposed right now, I would say.
Right, as is proposed right now.
It's fine. I don't know if Mr. Burns had something else to say or add to this.
I think you've captured most of the issues at this point. And with regard to any impacts, how are those being mitigated? Most of the improvements are contained within the building other than the sewer connection. There is a question about the parking area and whether or not that can be screened. I think the applicant was willing to work out something, whether it's fencing or or otherwise. I think traffic impacts would be minimal. It's a slight intensity of use, but other than that, in terms of surrounding development, I think there's the only immediately surrounding residential properties are to the south and to the east across the county road.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I believe that you said that you'd be amenable to a condition saying landscaping to the satisfaction of the township planner.
Yes.
So you would vote yes.
You're asking me.
Yes. Yeah. He's asking.
It's the deliberation, right? It's, yeah. Okay. Well, does anyone else want to offer any comments? Sharon?
Everyone's quiet tonight?
Yes, I'm quiet tonight. I'm fine with it, to be honest, because of a lot of things that were already said. It is right next to Annandale, and that the part that it's right next to has a lot of large buildings like this that are subdivided into more than just one unit. And, so there are multiple units. And and all the years that I've lived in Annandale, they go back and forth between being two families, three families, one family. You know, they're adjustable kind of situation. I mean, because they're not within that zoning, you have to state what it's going to be. So I don't have a problem with it.
You vote yes?
I vote yes, yes.
Well, it's kind of a funny application, but I don't think there's going to be any harm coming from it. It's a good location for it. Somehow, it looks to me, is just looking at the building, it looks like it was built as a two-family building. I think we can do it without outrage over abusing the zoning plan.
So you're okay with this? Yeah. Okay. Anybody else want to offer?
No, I'm fine with it for the reasons that Tom and John and Sharon have offered.
Okay. I just have a couple of comments on this one. I think there's a lot of testimony that shows the negative criteria is de minimis. There's almost no negative impact here. So that's okay. But when it comes to the positive criteria, it was really, really pretty thin here. The fact that it happened to have been a two-family building at some point in the historical past, to me, carries virtually no weight today. Whatever they did with it back in the 30s or 40s, you know, is ancient and interesting history. Does that count towards the positive criteria today? I don't think so. I gave that no weight. And I looked carefully. I had the same questions that Mr. Drill did about whether or not this advances the purposes of the MLUL. And I thought you were going to make the argument under E
that since the zoning was established at one unit per 1.5 acres, that that wasn't just a limit, but that it was a target, and anything that would increase density to that point would be achieving or advancing. But I didn't hear you say that, and I'm not trying to advance an argument for you. So the only positive, and by the way, when I did look at AMIs, I didn't realize that the piece you were claiming was the very last phrase in it, more efficient use of land. Is this more efficient use of land? I don't know. So to me, the only positive criteria that I could see here is that there's a building there that's already established that easily lends itself to be a two-family. I gave almost no weight. I personally, I know the others may have, I gave almost no weight to any of the other testimony. But the negative criteria was so small that I thought the construction of the building carried the case. But it was really close.
What about no future subdivision? Even though right now, under the footnote, it couldn't be subdivided as a critical area, it's conceivable the ordinance could be changed in the future. And if they're willing to have a condition with a deed restriction saying no further subdivision, is that not a potential special reason in your mind?
If they went for a deed restriction?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I hadn't thought about that, because that would be... Would that add some weight? It probably would add some weight.
Have a problem with a deed restriction, no further subdivision?
We're just having a quick conversation.
That would add some, because in the absence of that,
right,
you can always put a restriction in a condition, but that carries no weight. They can come back tomorrow and say, well, right, I want to apply for one anyway.
And I guess when I was offering it, I meant deed restriction, because nothing else is really enforced.
Right. So that's what Tom just said. Okay, and then the second one was, what about the fact that they're not going to go with a septic, and they're going to hook into the public sewer. And the only way they would do that is if it's a two-family versus a one-family.
Yeah, that's what I was asking about, the alternative use there. And it sounded as though buildings on its last legs. I don't know. I can't conclude that they wouldn't go to septic otherwise, because they already have capacity. So,
well, if other people say that, and there's more than five of them, I'm putting that in as a reason also. I'm just saying.
Yeah, right. I know my, you know, the vote may come out one way, but we all have different criteria. So,
agrees. Okay.
Yeah. For me, it was very close, but I'm okay with it, because it's so minimal
but
impact.
But you're okay with it overall?
Overall, I'm okay.
Okay.
See, I wasn't going to add anything, but I would give more weight to the... I think the argument that it used to be, well, the septic, certainly. I think that eliminating septic systems in a town that relies on wells so much, I think, is a good thing.
Right. The question is, would they do that anyway, 2 or 3 or 5 years from now?
I my guess would be, if it was me, I wouldn't do it until it failed.
Yeah, right. Right.
We don't have, you know, when I went out in the yard smelled, right, then I would consider it. The argument you're going to do with
the guy's honest. Yeah. At least you have an honest board member.
You know, it's okay. That's you're going to do it soon, and that would be an argument. Okay.
Yeah, and the idea of it having been a two-family, which I think your argument for that was fairly compelling, if you own a house that's a two-family and your family expands, sometimes you kick out your tenants so you've got more room for your kids. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't want to preclude the idea that you could ever go back to...
No one said that. They just said...
No, I know, but I mean, saying I would give it more weight than Tom. Okay. Tom was saying he sort of dismissed that. Mm-hmm. I would give it a little more weight than that.
Okay. Anyone else? Okay, so just to recap, we're looking for a motion to grant D1 use variance in the conditions. Must tie into sewer.
Put it this way. I have a list of them, and so rather than you list them...
Let me just read them off real fast.
Okay.
Sewer, landscape, and we're not saying anything about the garage, deed restriction, limit to 2 times 3 bedrooms, and that's it. That's the only ones I have.
Right, now you said this. You got to comply with all construction code requirements, all fire code requirements. They have to do that anyway.
Yeah, of course.
They have to apply to the Soil Conservation District, Hunterdon County Planning Board, unconditional approval to construct. That's it.
Right.
And the board's usual conditions from its rules.
In terms of time, to how long will this take you? That's a good
point. So let's ask, because the board's typical condition says 1 year to get a construction permit, 1 year to get a certificate of occupancy. You saw the applicant.
So it's 1 year and then 1 year?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. We're good? Okay. Have a motion to that effect, please?
So moved.
And a
second.
Okay. Denise, you call the roll, please?
Yes. Mr. Filas?
Yes.
Mr. Glaser?
And he's three, four, five, six. Only Lefkus is missing.
Oh, you're right.
You're right. Yeah, you're right.
Dr. Lewis?
Yes.
Mr. Matson?
Yes.
Mr. McCaffrey?
Yes.
Mr. Roberts?
Yes.
And Ms. Stevens?
Yes.
And Mr. Yeager?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for your time tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you. You're welcome. Okay, and we are on to Mr. Mandel.
Yes.
Windy Acres, and you better be ready for them. For reasons you know, go ahead and build the situation.
Oh, and then, oh, yeah, we've got the rubber stopper.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Well, and if you want to know what a bad septic system is, but then the Patrick McGarren in the summertime.
About that. I've never thought
about it all the time.
Always
ever since it was installed, it was just always.
I don't know what I can tell you. It's ever, my kids went there
and
they're.
Well, because I'm the one who plays with Bill. So 30 years old. Yeah.
Well, the other worst septic in town is this one. Okay. That's why they had to move out of it.
Yeah, this one.
Okay, all right.
Oh, yeah.
Good. All right.
Let's give them one more second to clear out. Good night.
Yeah, that's even better.
Good evening, Mr. Mandel. How are you?
Good evening.
Good. So we're going to ask you to, you saw this unfold. We're going to ask you to describe the project, describe the relief that you're seeking, and then give us the justification for the relief.
And first, raise your right hand, and Tom also. Do both of you swear that the testimony you're going to give in this proceeding is going to be the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, I hope you got?
I do.
Okay, identify yourself for the record.
Mark Mandel. I am the owner of Lot 34, or Block 34, Lot 10-02, 42 Hermantown Road.
Okay, and even though everyone knows you by now, identify yourself for the record.
Board planner, Tom Behrens.
Okay, floor is yours.
Okay, my application is for approval on two variances to allow me to... to facilitate my building, an accessory building, to be used as my hobby wood shop. Up to this time, I've lived in the township for some 25 years, a little bit more, almost 30. The basement of my home has been my wood shop for years. That's where I build furniture for my family. Built most of the furniture in my house, along with my kids and several other people. But unfortunately, my wife has become... diagnosed with an allergy to wood trees, or to wood and to trees. And I've had to, therefore, suspend my hobby. It is not a business, but it is a hobby. So I cannot continue the activity in the house. I can't make her sick. She can take drugs for it and that sort of thing, but that's not going to happen. So I investigated various kinds of buildings to do. The pole barn, it becomes the most economic from the standpoint of costs. It gives me the most flexibility to design it. And if you looked at the photographs that I supplied, so that it matches the existing structure. That's very important. All too often, these kinds of things are made, and basically it's a red barn with steel siding and a steel roof. And while they may look nice and clean, they would come totally out of place in my neighborhood. So I have designed it such that it complements and goes with and carries on the architectural integrity of the house that we live in. In order to do that, there's a minimum size that is safe, and I had to work within the confines of the pole barn company. It's been a fact that at the suggestion of Mike Wright, Mike has been out to my place a number of times for inspections, and Mike was very helpful, as a matter of fact, in this. The plan calls for a footprint of 24 by 40. That is based upon 8-foot increments, which is the key size for this kind of construction. It's all basically it's computerized.
Just a quickie. Does the board have the color, or do you have black and white?
Black and white.
So I have black and white. So I said to Denise, is there a color? So apparently you have what you're talking about, the nice design, I assume, is this color rendering that you submitted?
Yeah.
So the board has no idea that it looks like that.
Okay. Well,
because you only submitted one of them. Do you have some kind of photograph?
Well, I have the pictures originally that we made those copies from. I had submitted 6 of those along with the.
Does anyone have a color picture of the barn?
I don't know where the rest of them went to.
Well, the thing is, when you submitted the 9 sets for the board, they were all black and white copies.
You didn't submit the copies for the board in color. But look, you have one of the.
Oh yes, I do.
Let me see what you have. Maybe it was marked as an exhibit.
It's a photograph. Perhaps I can assist you this way.
Give me the photograph you submitted to the file, and I'm going to mark them in the same order.
That's fine.
It's a whole other 1 minute.
My Photoshop skills are very rude. So
yeah. Just when you get this, don't be shocked. This is another, it's like the Jim Hill. It's taped on. But you have an excuse, at least. You're not an engineer.
That's true. I'm a lawyer.
Yeah, I wouldn't have said that either, but now you did.
It's all right.
Now you let the cat out of the bag on that one.
That's all right.
That's not an advantage around here.
Well, you know, but I don't practice here. I'm in a different world.
Okay. So Jackie, can we have A1 through A4?
Probably should put another piece of tape.
You can't say anything until.
Oh, all right.
Okay. Now you want to say something before I mark them?
No, just from the standpoint of you handling it, the one that's composite with the 2 pieces on it, if anybody's got a piece of scotch tape.
Anyone have a tape dispenser with them? Denise may.
Just a stapler.
Just so they don't fall apart.
Let's use a paper clip for now. Tomorrow you can put some scotch tape on it. Oh, look at this. Very. You know what? You have a green clip. Green foliage? That was Mr. Green clipped. I'm going to hand these four exhibits back to you.
Okay.
And I'm going to ask you to slowly describe for the record each exhibit. A1 is, A2 is, and it include that you took the picture and when you took the picture.
Okay.
So A1 is?
A1 is a photograph of the southeast corner of the residence.
And you took that picture when?
About 2 months ago.
Okay.
Don't have the date with me.
That's all right. Flip it over. Identify A2.
Okay. A2, from about the same vantage point but panning to the right, is the view going past the house toward the back cleared area of the property, showing the...
That's where you would cite the new building.
Actually,
no, it's not.
That is not.
Right, that's not. He'll get into that.
A3 now is panning again further to the other side of the property. That is where the building would be placed. And A4 is a composite showing how the building would look with that approximate location.
Yeah. Where did you get the let's say, the representation of the building
that
you taped onto the photograph?
Okay. That was picked up through online images of vertical brown siding to match the house's stained white cedar, and the roof to imitate or represent the color of the shingles on the roof.
To be clear, what you did was you took a depiction of the proposed barn and you taped it on to what was the
photograph
of Exhibit A3.
So how do we know that the proportions are appropriate to the space that it's in? What did you do for that?
Okay. Going back to the pole barn standard size and working with 8-foot sections increments for the construction detail. Mm-hmm. The 24 feet gives me the depth to move product in and out, mm-hmm, without impacting any of the trees that you see there.
Excuse me, can I just ask, Sharon, were you asking whether or not the scale,
yes,
of the photograph the that you took?
It's close. It's close.
But she wants to know, how do you know?
How you determine
how did you,
that?
How, what? On what basis do you conclude that it's close? That's what she wants to know.
Okay. The applique on the one photograph
this one?
Is based upon, yes, that. Yeah. Is based upon the height of the brown section, the siding, as a unit of 10 feet, and the 40-foot length is then 4 times that section. The height of the roof is based upon taking the 10 feet again shown for the siding and with the requested roof pitch, which is 8/12 to match the house, that becomes 8 feet high.
Okay, so how do I know that this pavement area is representative of the length of the house, of the pole barn?
It's not. The pole barn will, the barn will extend further to the right of the pavement.
How do I know that this, so let's say
that, I don't remember what your measurements were, so just bear with me. So let's say this is 10 feet, right? And if this is 40 feet, there should be one-fourth of that, right?
Correct, yeah.
Okay, is it? That's my question. Like this, if the pavement part is 10 feet, right, it should, and this is 40 feet, it should be one-quarter. I mean, I don't know if that's true. No. So how much is this pavement space here?
The pavement space is about 20 feet.
So, okay, so you're saying it's about 20 feet, so it should be half. Is this 40 feet?
That's very close, yes.
Okay, because I'm looking to see how big it really is going to look in that space. That's the scale that I'm looking for, because it could look a lot smaller than it really is.
I kind of wish it was, but it's not. One of the issues is to work effectively inside the space rather than an 8-foot ceiling. I had to, and there are only certain limitations and choices. And they're all in 2-foot increments. 8 feet is not enough for the interior height of the ceiling, because woodworking machines require ductwork and dust removal to effectively work. And safe for myself, even though I'm not allergic to it, wood dust is a carcinogen in a lot of instances. Now, I do not work with exotic woods. I don't do tropicals and that sort of thing, mostly walnut and cherry and maple. But still, I have to remove the dust, and that's the other part for the length of the building at 40 feet.
Let me ask my question a different way, because I'm still not thinking I'm getting my answer. Do you know if the number of trees that this is purported to, by the picture, is going to cover is the same number of trees that it really will cover?
There is only one tree involved. Only one.
For removal.
No, she means visually covering, not
visually
removing.
Visually covering. So what I'm trying to get at is how much blockage, if you would, is that?
She wants to know. She looks at that picture and she says a bunch of your existing trees are going to be screened from view.
Oh.
By the pole barn. She
yes.
wants to know how many trees are going to be screened from view. Is that
really?
Picture accurately depicting the correct number of trees that, in fact, will be screened from view?
And high, height.
Right, and height.
Like, am I going to be able to see the sun anymore, or is it going to be, or the moon, or whatever, or is it going to be blocked from view?
All right. Looking at the face of the building, you're looking at the south face. So you will not be seeing sun. You won't, will not be, that's going the other way.
Okay.
All right, so, and the building will block 1, 2, 3 trees from view on the driveway.
Way. Yeah, please.
These objects that are in the background.
Right.
What are those, and how wide are they, in fact? How many feet wide are they? Because if
those
you measure the scale of those,
okay.
Then we can determine the scale of this and see if the picture that you took, the photograph you took, and the image of the barn are the same scale. I think that's what Ms. Stevens is getting after.
Okay.
Did I ask that right, Sharon?
Yes.
Those are rotating compost bins.
Okay. And how wide is one of those?
The big one is about 3 feet.
3 feet, okay.
It's about 3 feet wide.
In those pictures,
and that sits back beyond where the building is located, or would be located.
In those pictures, you show a stake in the ground. Is that where you intend?
It's about there.
Okay.
When I put the stake in, I put it in for reference. In trying to locate the building for the setback variance, because it was going to be somewhere in the 20-foot setback.
Okay.
What I did was measured it to the property line from the scale drawing, and that comes out to 77 feet. So I located a point 27 feet from the corner of the garage, which you see at the end of the of the building, and that would be the starting point, and then we go 40 feet from there and that locates the southeast corner, the front corner towards the street, exactly 10 feet from your property line.
How did you determine where your property line actually was out in the field, unless you had a surveyor run a
string? From the survey on the scale drawing.
You took a tape measure?
On the scale drawing.
You took a tape measure, or you counted it off?
Well, I took a tape measure out. I don't have a property line marked out there. But from the scale drawing of 1 inch equals 50 feet, I took my little micro ruler, and it came out to just a little bit over an inch and a half. So I figured it at 77 feet from the corner of the existing garage. So I locate the nearest corner to the garage at 27 feet, and that locates it in at the 10-foot mark from the property line. Now, the property line is in the woods. There's nothing there. These are the woods are we try to keep them as clean as we can. There are no structures near it. There is no developed land there. It's all just natural stuff.
What's your definition of near? There's nothing near there, you said. So what?
150 feet to the first structure.
Okay, thank you.
The fella next door, who was going to be here in support. Unfortunately, his wife took quite ill this afternoon, and he couldn't make it. That was Mr. Silverman at 40 Hermantown.
Mr. Mandel, can I ask a question?
Sure.
On the one exhibit that you have, 1 inch equal 50 scale that you keep referring to, the northeast corners, I'm looking at your drawing here that showed the trees marquee on them.
Right.
The northeast corner, I don't have a micro scale. I use an engineer scale, and I measure 72 feet. Now, you can use this to check the same dimension, the same map I have. I measure from the northeast corner to the property line is 72 feet, and you stated 77. So we've got 5-foot difference. If you pulled out a tape of some type, we've got maybe 5 foot off. Difference of opinion between you and I here.
Okay.
But I measure 72 feet, so the 77, I don't know what you're basing placement of this building on.
I'm basing it on the you see, the northeast corner of the building on the scale drawing
would be close.
Is all I have to. All I have to go by.
I understand.
And I measured it over to the, all the way over to the property line. I came out with about, I think it was like one and 9/16.
Well, you said it's 77 feet.
So
I have a 1 inch equal 50 scale ruler here.
Okay.
And I measure, let's say you're 200 foot northerly property line.
Right.
It scales fairly close. Using this scale on this drawing, mm-hmm. when I measure that distance from that northeast corner to your, I'll call it easterly or southeasterly line that you're using as a reference, I have 72 feet. You can use this scale if you want. But I'm just saying it's 72 and not 77. That's all.
That's
a little problem here. So which leads me to ask you, how did you locate the trees on this scale here that you have marked as T?
How did I locate the trees? I went out and the location of the actual trees with the tee markings on them is my best approximation. I did not measure them with a long ruler or anything.
Ruler or scale or
no,
you use
right. The one that I was really concerned about is the one that has to be removed, which is right in the middle of the proposed building.
Well, okay, you can locate that by measuring off of two corners with a tape measure of some type, a little bit more accurate. But my point is, how do you know that you're going to have to remove that one tree?
It's going to be right, it would be right in the middle.
Where you put your stake, that you're not sure whether it's 5 feet. I'm not trying to be
catch
up with something. It just bothers me that you're using this old 1988 map and putting things on, T's on it, that we don't know the exact location of this yet.
Okay, well, the without a long ruler, which I don't have, I was doing the best I could to approximate it all for you.
Okay, so it's all approximately shown.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Okay. None of it's measured except the best that I could do with the measuring tools I have to try to locate that southeast corner for the application.
Yeah, I think Mr. Drill noted before that where is the property line. I think that's pretty critical here. You know, that you know you're going to be 10 foot or 20 foot off, whatever,
yeah.
You know, where your setback is. That's critical to know that.
Okay. It's going to be, as I looked at it, it's going to be within that zone. I tried to.
In what
my
zone?
Best. Pardon?
It's going to be within what zone?
The setback zone.
The setback area.
It's going to be within the 20 feet.
Right, but how close to the property line is it going to be?
Well, on my measurements, Mr. Drill, it was going to be 10 feet. Now, I think I'm being corrected, and I'll stand corrected. It may actually, you know, at 40 feet and 27 feet from the house, I can't go closer to the house with it because that will block access to the rear property.
Can I just take us in a slightly different direction here? I just have a hunch, and other board members are free to correct me, that we may not close on this tonight because we like to see more precise measurements to know down to, you know, within a couple inches where exactly things will be located, distances. And I'm not sure that we have that level of precision tonight. But one thing we can do is talk about the justification. What would the rationale be for putting something here that requires approximately 10 feet, because I'm not sure how accurate that is, 10 foot over the line, and why it couldn't be moved closer to the house, maybe rotated 90 degrees, fit in, moved in the backyard. We could probably have those discussions even if we didn't have documents with precise measurements. And if the board thinks I'm off base here, that we're going to need that.
No, I've been lying.
I think people are kind of nodding their head in agreement with
okay.
me on that
well,
one.
You're correct, but I also think that the board could specify not if we decided to grant the variance, we could specify that the nearest corner of the pole barn must be at least 10.000 feet.
Yeah, but how do you make that decision? How do you make the decision in the first place if you don't have an accurate document to look at? But what these guys are talking about is an accurate depiction of what's actually being proposed location-wise. What my question is, I think his notice is fine, but the notice, the peak height we haven't talked about.
We'll get to that.
But if he's going to have go, if you're asking for accuracy, the notice says he proposes a peak height of MOL 18 feet. Right? MOL apparently means more or less.
It does, except that in supplemental statement, I checked with the pole barn company, because Ms. Pilardo asked me about it. And in the supplemental statement, I put it in. They told me it was 18 feet, 8 inches. Okay, now, that height
I understand. The notice, if that's the case, then the notice is no good. Because you've asked for 18 feet, and if the thing's going to be higher than 18 feet, that's another problem.
Okay. So do we... Julie noted, John. So do we have some discussion around the rationale to see if there's an appetite from the board to entertain this? And if there is, then we may have to come back with a good notice and maybe some more accurate measurements.
Okay.
You can go down that road?
Sure.
Okay.
I think to sort of reword what the chairman was saying, too, I think one of the things that we're looking for is there are spots on your property that would be in compliance that you could put this. So you have to convince us of why it's better for the township that it's, you know, not further in your backyard
Okay.
Why it's to the advantage of your neighbors and your entire community to be out of compliance.
Well, first of all, the present location, proposed location, the trees effectively screen it from everybody's view.
Okay.
Second, and most importantly...
Question before you leave that, are you saying that there are compliant locations that are not screened?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
is
sure.
That true?
If you look at the drawing, the scale drawing, you'll notice the squiggly line running diagonally across it. The back field, I can put it there.
Suppose you just took it and rotated it 90 degrees.
Right.
Would it not still be screened?
No, it would not, because I'd have to take out more trees, and it would probably be sticking out of the clearing line.
I don't see that.
I would have to take down more trees.
Is there any evidence or documentation that backs up that claim? I don't see it on this document.
I'm not sure which one you've got, but do you have the one with the tree locations on it?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
So listen, just getting back to the notice thing, if you are coming back with a more detailed drawing, the other thing the notice says is that the structure is going to be within the 20-foot setback zone. It doesn't say how many feet setback.
Right.
You have to give, I know that you're going to say that your neighbor was going to be here, but you have to give the 200-footers and people in the newspaper notice of exactly what you're proposing. How many feet setback and how high.
Okay.
So it's just the detail drawing the board needs to determine the application, but then you go from that detailed drawing and you do your notice, so you're notifying people exactly what you're proposing, not, you know, approximate.
That's okay. A matter of law. That's a matter of law.
Correct.
Right. Mm-hmm. All right.
So if I could repeat the question, which was, I don't see any evidence on this document, which you handed out, that shows if it were rotated 90 degrees, which I believe would make it fit within the setback, I don't see any of the trees on this document that would indicate they would also need to be removed.
The tree line behind it where it sits now, from the driveway, would
here's,
be...
Here's the photograph.
Yeah.
Here's exhibit A3. Here's your stake. It sure looks like if you rotated it, it would fit right between those trees. That's what he's saying.
Well.
Here's exhibit A3.
Can I see it, John? Wait, what's the
thing? Tom's saying if you rotated it and sent it back this way, would it fit between those trees?
Oh, this is a stake by the driveway.
Yeah, there's a stake.
Oh.
The criteria there, from my standpoint, in pushing, is doing the 90 degree rotation here, would impact the drip lines and the root balls of the trees behind us. We've lost a lot of trees up on our property through the recent storms. One of my friends said, "You lose one more tree, you can go solar in the house."
Why can't you put this into that clearing area that you said?
I can, but then I would have to cut a driveway through to get materials in and out.
Well, do you have to cut a driveway through, or wouldn't it?
No.
Again, looking at the picture, it looks like you could drive vehicles between those big trees.
No, it's a mound that goes up. It's a big berm up there. There used to be a cornfield in behind.
Which exhibit is this one? That's exhibit A2. See where the walkway is?
Yes.
You're saying that a vehicle couldn't fit between those two trees?
Oh, it's a vehicle can get up there, yes.
So what's the...
Is it my lawnmower guys go up there.
Okay, so what's the problem that for the driveway to be there...
I can't put a driveway there because that's where the well is. If you look at that photograph, you will see the well head right next to the walk. I cannot put a driveway there. So,
sorry, I don't think I heard the rest of the explanation. How come you can't just rotate it 90 degrees?
All right. This we would probably wind up killing several trees in the background because of the excavation.
And
to get it level.
And the other way it wouldn't?
Right. Now we take out one, which is, by the way, it's not a white oak. It's a red maple. I found out the other day. But that's the only one. That's the only tree that gets impacted here.
And have you had a professional opinion on that other trees would die?
I haven't had a professional opinion on it, except that in order to, from the standpoint of 40 feet back from the existing driveway, the pavement that you see in the photograph. It takes us in among the trees, and I would be very leery about cutting into that berm up there and impacting the root balls on the trees. Just wouldn't do it. And I don't mean to be dogmatic about it, but I'm very protective of our trees. We've had discussions with me and my wife as to, you really have to take down the red maple. Hate to do it, but it's scheduled. It'll be milled to for lumber and furniture, not firewood.
Mr. Mendo, you said you had an area of 40 foot that you can work with from the driveway. Did I hear that?
Yeah, from
the edge of the driveway,
from the back into the tree line.
From the edge of the driveway.
From the edge of the driveway, we can get back in there for 40 feet.
About 40 feet. Okay.
Right. Putting this back out in the clear area can be done, but again, then I have to cut access with for a vehicle, and that's going to impact the tree line as well.
Yeah.
How often do you have to drive vehicles to and from the building?
Pardon?
How often do you have to drive vehicles to and from the building?
Well, to get wood in?
Yeah, and that's the question. Is that once a day, once a month?
Oh, well,
once a quarter?
Depends on how much work I'm doing.
Well, how much work do you normally do?
Yeah.
I mean, what's your typical, you know...
Since I'm thinking about retiring, hanging up the spurs, I'd probably be working there every day.
Okay, so how often would you imagine some vehicle having to come in with wood if you work there every day?
It's impossible for me to estimate.
Okay, so
could be once a day, could be once a week. Depends on my use of materials.
Yes, so
you know, the machines are very good at making little ones out of big ones. I have to haul I take the sawdust out and spread it in the forest because it breaks down as fertilizer. But I'm very protective of it. When I am turning on the lathe, my friends can usually tell what kind of wood I'm turning and the color of the mulch.
So when you're building all this furniture, what are you doing with all the furniture when you're...
What am I doing with it? I'm giving it to my kids.
Yeah, okay. You're giving everything away?
Okay. I give it most... Well, I've got a house full, so I don't need any myself. Mm-hmm. But my kids do. Yeah, if you looked at the link on the website, I just completed a green and green Bandini bench for my son out of cherry. Mm-hmm. Delivered that a few months ago, and they're enjoying that.
Mm-hmm.
He's asked me for an entertainment center. My daughter is about to move out. She's been living with us for a while. We're looking for a house for her, and she's got very little furniture, so I'm going to be busy.
So basically, this is a hobby. You're giving this away. This is not a business.
No, absolutely not.
You don't
not.
Have normal hours other than whenever you have time. Now that once you hang up your
phone. When I can do it, I do it.
Okay, and the delivery, whenever you do receive it, is how big of a deal?
That's mine. I have a trailer. I harvest my own wood.
Okay, so that's a deliberate.
I have wood sitting in the driveway now.
You harvest your wood that you cut down on your property?
Or other places. People call me. I have a walnut tree or something. Right now I've got 7 walnut trunks that are sitting ready to be sawn. And I'm going to be calling my sawyer in. He comes in with a portable band mill.
Because I can't imagine you doing that in your basement.
No.
Now, are you going to be able to do that in this new pole barn, or are you still going to have to...
I can't do it in the pole barn, no. Okay. No. That's a driveway job. And the guy comes in with his truck and a trailer and sets up on the driveway. And we roll the logs in, and then I cut them specifically as it's going through it. We make decisions as to how to actually cut each particular log to get the best yield.
So how do you get the cut wood into your basement currently?
Usual path is through the garage, the living room, and down the basement steps in the kitchen.
And you think that if this building was put in the clearing in the back, and you did the same thing you're doing right now by doing the cutting out in the driveway, that walking the cut wood back to the building in the clearing would be more difficult than what you're doing right now, getting them into the basement?
Well, getting boards out there is not.
So what?
Getting a finished piece of furniture is massively...
Yeah, but you implied that it was the deliveries that were the issue, not the deliveries of wood to the building that would be the issue, not the delivery of furniture out. You said that you might have one truck a day, one truck a week. But if you're talking about getting deliveries of your finished product out, then how many pieces of furniture can you turn out a week or a month?
It depends on what my kids ask.
But I can't imagine it's that many. If someone's asking for a wall unit or a desk or something, how long does it typically take to make something like that?
I've done them in 2-3 days.
A wall unit in 2 or 3 days?
Sure.
You finished them?
Pardon?
You finished them? I mean, like you put finishing on them and everything? Or you...
Oh, yeah.
Just...
Sure. Yeah, I mean, it depends on the design, depends on the unit. Just, you know, I mean, I can bang out a set of shelves in an afternoon. That's not...
Yeah, but instead of shelves, you could carry out without a problem. You're talking about a wall unit.
Right. Again.
2 or 3 days.
2-3 days, maybe 4. For instance, I made my son, when they lived in Brooklyn, and they had a little apartment, and they were in a lower section of one of these brownstones, and they wanted a set of shelves, a shelf unit, wall unit.
Mm-hmm.
But we had a problem in that we had a height issue and how to get it in. We could not get it in. So I made it in 2 sections.
Mm-hmm.
That stacked. And then we put it in, and it got screwed together. Took it up in my trailer. And worked out just fine. Now, when they moved out of there, they separated the 2 units as we designed it such that it can either be stacked or
side by side.
And it's in use today, even after fire in the building. So
the question for the board is, if you want more accurate documents, what do you want him to do? Do you want him to get a surveyor and include it, and wherever he's going to propose the building, include trees located by a surveyor? What? Give him some guidance.
So let me ask this question. I think accurate documents would be helpful if the board has any appetite. I think we're going to take the board's temperature to see if there's any appetite to grant the variance, if they've heard enough justification that we might even go down this road, regardless of whether we do it tonight or...
Are you saying, based on what you're hearing, board members might not be even willing to entertain that, so don't waste his money, is what you're saying?
Exactly, right. If there's no appetite for a variance,
okay, I get it.
Then
you
there's
want
no
to a
point
poll.
In asking him to go through a call.
Right. Okay.
So that's my suggestion. Do we want to have any discussion around that point? Sure. So based on what anyone has heard so far, has the applicant made
a strong enough case to grant a side yard setback. I know we haven't even gotten to the height variance, which maybe we'll get to, because even if we don't do a side yard setback and he puts this someplace that's compliant, we still have to talk about the height variance.
Okay. So. I'm concerned about the location. I'm concerned about a number of things. One is the picture. It doesn't appear to be to scale to me. So I think it's much bigger.
But what Tom's asking is, everyone seems to be in agreement that he needs accurate documents. What Tom's asking is, based on what you heard, if in your mind you wouldn't be willing to even entertain the side yard variance, say so you don't put him through having to spend money.
I'm not willing to put variance. Or to agree to a variance for the side yard, because I think it can be located someplace else.
Based on what you've heard.
Based on what I've heard.
Okay.
I would say, as I mentioned before, that I would entertain this provided you can offer good evidence. So, for instance, Tom's idea of rotating at 90 degrees, exactly how many trees, and maybe get an arborist, whoever does your milling, would probably know what the root spread of the trees there. How many trees would you lose if you rotated that 90 degrees?
So what you're saying is possibly it would be well worth him getting the accurate documents, but having to prove that the location, as he proposes it, is better than a compliant location.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I get it.
I agree with that entirely.
And the height?
Well, they didn't. They're going to totally poll themselves, everybody, on the setback.
Okay, all right.
I'm in the same zone, but maybe a little further to the side of saying it'd have to be pretty good evidence that that's the best spot, but I think that's maybe the same thing you said.
Yeah, and I'll just offer, I'd have to see a whole lot more evidence before you can convince me that there isn't a better place to put this, either by shifting it over, by rotating it 90 degrees, or putting it in the backyard. I know there's a few detriments maybe to each of those, but you'd have to make a case, a strong case, that those detriments are outweighed by the fact that you're 10 feet into the no-build zone, which impacts not just the neighbor that might have been here, but the neighbor that might be there when they buy the house 10 or 15 or 20 years. We have to think about who's going to be living there and what those people next door might build down the road. So I'd need to see a pretty strong case. I haven't seen good, solid evidence yet. That's my take on it.
Okay.
Anything to add to that?
It's the same that I would agree to what you're proposing, but we just need stronger evidence that what you're proposing is appropriate.
I think, Mr. Mandel, as I mentioned before, that the location of trees that you've approximately shown, if these were all where they, if these are where they are exactly in the field, you might know how you might be able to position this, and the 10-foot off may be the only place to work. But if they're not where they're located, where you think where they are approximately shown, you may actually be hurting yourself by putting that 10-foot there. That offset, it may be a better position either for the building to slid back parallel to where it is, or toward the north, rotate it. I think you got to know those location and trees that you're not going to hurt yourself or the trees as well.
Okay, so are you saying that he needs surveyed documents? He needs a surveyor prepared document, not preparing it himself?
The question was, would I vote on this right now as what
I understand.
Submitted for evidence so far? I would have not agreed with.
Correct. What type of
I'm saying
accurate documents are you looking for?
I would like to see something where the trees are located, and as someone said, either arborist that you're working with, that someone can give us some information that this is the root ball or the spread, and what you're concerned about losing the trees is in fact a fact.
Right, but the trees located.
Yes.
Who's locating the trees?
Oh, a surveyor.
A surveyor. Okay.
Someone, yes.
Not him. Okay.
Yes.
And then Mr.
Well, Powell. I don't think you need it to that degree.
Well, that's what I'm asking.
The alternative.
That's what I want. That's what I'm asking. I want
that. I don't feel you need that degree of accuracy.
What degree of accuracy, John?
For a surveyor to do it.
So who does it?
If he did it himself,
with a tape measure and had measurements. It's, you know, X feet and X inches. Did it himself. Oh,
but he's got to, he's got to find his property line. How is he going to find his property line without at least a surveyor doing something? I mean, look, you might not need a surveyor to locate every single tree.
Right.
But how can you expect him to be accurate with a ruler if he doesn't have
a starting point?
Right. I think for the property line, he can...
You scale the drawing?
He can...
I know what you're saying. Scale the drawing, take a tape measure from the house, but that's not accurate.
That's what we have now.
That's what you have now.
Do you know? Well, this drawing is done by an engineer.
But that's what he did.
Property survey. I mean, I'm talking about the location survey,
right?
Which shows the house on it, right?
Correct. If you generally,
if the location survey is done by a licensed engineer and stamped and so forth. Seems to me you could.
But John, that's what he did. He took that survey and he went out with his own tape measure.
I don't think that's quite right, because if you look at this drawing, there's no measurements that show where any of these trees are from the corner or the iron pin. He just said, I think it's about here, and drew it in.
I'm not even talking about the tree.
I'm saying you can get a pretty good location of the property line from taking offsets from the corners of the building.
But even if we got pretty good, how do we approve a resolution later that has to be accurate? How can we just say more or less or near to?
Mm-hmm. What would happen is, let's just take this out. Let's assume that he made this more accurate. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think you're going to be able to call it accurate because he's an attorney. He's not an engineer or a surveyor. Okay, I'm an attorney. I wouldn't know how to do it. Mm-hmm. Tom, he's an engineer and surveyor. He would know how to do it. Okay? But let's assume that it was accurate enough for you to feel comfortable. The only thing I can imagine in the resolution, then, if it granted the relief, it would say that he's got to have, before he builds it, he needs a surveyor to go out there to make sure the locations are in accordance with what the board said. Because then how do you do that?
Right.
So maybe get the surveyor in at the end. The thing is, if you're going to get the surveyor in at the end, why not get him in the beginning, is all I'm saying.
You know, I have a just kind of procedural question. Maybe, Tom, you can answer this. When a building permit is issued, they go out and check the footing, right? I mean, doesn't the building inspector have
like a foundation location you're asking? Yes. Location survey is made, presented. It's got so many feet offset. Does it, in fact, fall within the setback lines or whatever the requirement
was? By the way, isn't it true that you then have a pin? The guy said, on new construction, you have the surveyor set a pin for you.
The offsets.
The offsets.
Okay.
It's done by a surveyor.
Okay, so in order for him to get a permit.
Not unless the resolution says it. The resolution would say, that's what I'm saying, the resolution would say he needs to get a surveyor to give him his offset. If he's got to get a surveyor at the end and you want accurate documents, just have him get the surveyor in the beginning. But it's up to you. If you guys feel comfortable
the resolution said the building can be no more than 10 feet from the sideline, then it's up to him and the building inspector to figure it out after that, right?
Listen, that's one way of doing it. You've had with swimming pools, you've had people then come back with the mistakes. So on all swimming pool things, in your resolutions, it makes them have a surveyor located before they dig.
Have we had any swimming pools?
Not in the last few years. Before that, you had.
We did?
Yeah. I'll
you run the risk that if it's built and it's within 5 feet instead of 10, he comes back to the board and then you're faced with...
Right. What are you going to do? Make him knock it down?
Yeah.
You made one person take it down, if you recall.
Yeah, but that's a different case. That's because they didn't go for inspections in the first place. They were cheating the system.
I understand. What we're suggesting is, you guys really going to make, if he mislocates it, you're going to make him take the thing down? I don't think so.
Yeah, no. It's a point we'll take. I'll just give you my last.
I guess my impression was that does the building inspector allow the building to go up before he checks where the footings are?
I would say if the requirement is for setback, the way I've done this in the past, whenever, and this is the one, is that we did an offset, whatever the setback was, and that's the way that building was constructed. It would be offset to the corners. That's the way it was constructed. After it was put in, let's say it's a foundation, we would go back and do a foundation location that confirm with the zoning officer, building official, that it's in the proper location. Then it goes up. Too many times, especially tract homes, John, out in Greenridge Township, a couple of them, we didn't do it. We were okay. But there are some, such as what was cited, that they may be over by 2 foot or so. You know, and someone did not use that. And it was found when the location survey was done. Didn't use the offset. Found when the location survey was done. Because they might have wanted to miss something. Okay? So my thoughts are, to help this individual in my way, is to locate these trees, whether, you know, he's got to know where the boundary is. He's got to know where that one boundary is. And then somehow do ties to these buildings, not just a proximate location. If we're saving as many trees as we can, you got to know where this little group or the opening might be to locate this building. Instead of putting it all the way back in the open field.
And just to be clear, if you were to get an accurate survey, that's not the same as making justification. That just means we're ready to have a discussion about the merits, right?
Yes, sir.
That doesn't justify it. It just says, okay, now we're ready to talk.
Mr. Mandel, are you buying a kit from the pole barn company, or are they installing it for you?
No, they install it.
I've known a couple of people who've done this, and they found in these kind of cases that the pole barn company is frequently helpful in whether they have a surveyor or whether they can work with your pins, that they can come up, you know, if you tell them I have to be this many feet, they can come up with, like I said, it's completely up to you, but my experience has been they can be helpful in that. Because they do it all the time.
I've spoken to two, and it's been back and forth between the two of them from the standpoint of who's got the better plan, who's got the best budget for what I want to do, and within my budget, which is arguably is limited. I'm trying to make it a nice building, but by the same token, I'm going to be doing a lot of the work myself with a number of friends. For instance, all the interior finishing is me and my crew. We got together and have been together since we built the playground over Immaculate Conception. So they're going to be helping me. We do our own electrics. Although it'll be inspected, of course. There won't be any water. That's not allowed. But the pole barn does the exterior. I get my own concrete man in for the floor. And then they put the siding on, put the insulation in. I put in the windows. They put in the doors. And the roof and such.
But, well, my thinking would be, part of it is if you come up with a contract with them that the corner of the building has to be 32 feet from the property line.
Right.
Then if it has to be moved, then they have to move it.
They'll come out and look, and they're waiting to hear what happens tonight.
Yeah.
Because they have to come out. My arborist is supposed to be there tomorrow morning from the standpoint of possible tree removal. And unfortunately, we've got a couple others that are dangerous. So they're going to have to come down, too. But as a matter of fact, I can, at Jonathan's suggestion, I can talk to him tomorrow morning about root ball involvement and damage to the tree line back there with the idea of rotating it at some point to move it further back.
Just for the record, when the when Kathy reviewed the application for the completeness waivers, and she administratively granted waivers from not having a two-scale survey, she said for purposes of completeness, to get it in front of the board, that was fine. She noted, however, I'm quoting, however, if the requested variance is approved, an updated survey shall be provided prior to release of building permits and the eastern property line shall be staked in the field, end quote. So that's her suggested condition if there's an approval. So you guys have to decide if you want to leave it like that. You consider and decide the case based on his best estimated documents, but this is the suggested condition, which I would also suggest. And if there's a problem, he'll find out about it after it's built, or whether you want totally accurate documents before you decide. That's what you got to decide, because we're going round and round. What I'm hearing is, right, the applicant says this thing might be as close as 10 feet to the property line. That's what he says. The relief he's seeking. Maybe 10, maybe not. But I've heard board members say, well, someone said, no, there's no way I would do it. Other people say, listen, if you show me, if 10 feet close to the line only results in one tree going down, but if you either turned it 90 degrees and four trees had to go down, or if you put it in the clearing but a driveway through it would take six trees down, then maybe I would vote for the setback variance 10 feet off the line. So if that's your thinking, and that it seems to me that that's the vast majority of your thinking, that that's what you want to see, then you have to decide how is the document going to be prepared that you're going to base your judgment off. And just tell them.
Hold on a second. I got some samples.
Okay.
You've got to change paper.
I'm not ready.
I'm sorry.
Machine was described to me one time as a printing, money printing press.
A money printing press? I don't get that.
Okay. However many pages, how many dollars?
John, you were going to say?
How many hours do you bill? What do you charge? I mean, that's insulting, but go ahead.
Not insulting.
Yeah, it is.
Well, what I was going to say is
insulting to her.
If we decide to approve it, seems to me the resolution is going to have to say corner of the building shall be no closer than X feet from the property line. Period. And it will be the applicant's job to figure out how he squares that with getting a building permit, and, getting a proper location survey as built, things like that. I need that degree of accuracy to decide this. I mean, trees, maybe he loses that extra tree if he doesn't have it exactly, the location of these trees exactly right. That's not a big concern to me. I mean, yeah, you try to preserve them, but I think that Thank you.
Okay. So if that's your thinking, John, that's his justification as to why it should be where it is. And that's what I'm struggling with. Because if you're feeling that's another three or two, that's okay, and he's saying, I'll use it to make something with it, I'm perplexed, completely perplexed as to why the setback is even considered.
So are you saying that if he said, I can rotate it, but then I have to lose another tree, would you then say, okay, make it comply and lose another tree? Or would you then, that's what you would do?
Yeah.
Because she said that, because she says that that's what John is saying.
That's what
she's interpreting you as saying. That make it comply, lose some trees, water a couple trees.
That's how
you feel, then just make them comply and lose the trees.
And you're saying the same thing.
Right, and he says he's going to use them anyways.
And I tell you, I'm kind of in the same place. If you end up losing a second tree, but it's compliant, I would vote that way.
That's kind of what I was saying was come back with something that tells us. If you're going to lose 20 trees, then maybe we do want to be out of compliance.
Trees,
so
right.
Come back with...
It's not even 20 trees plotted on his thing, though.
Yeah. Right.
But, well, by example.
Why don't you poll yourselves? Because if people don't care if he loses more than one tree and if he loses up to four trees or whatever, then you're right. Then it's end of the case. Tell them to comply. You know, it's no concern of yours, one to four trees.
Right. So we heard that?
You don't need anything. I agree.
Comply even if he has to lose a couple more trees. Okay?
I agree.
You agree?
Comply with the 20-foot setback.
Yeah.
Right, even if you have to lose a couple more trees.
Yes.
Okay, so there you have the board's sentiment. I mean, you can come back and try to make a case, but I think you've seen there's not a whole lot of that.
Basically, you just convince them that, okay, if you lose a couple more trees, they lose a couple more trees, comply.
Okay.
I understand. That gets us halfway there.
Okay, we'll talk about
the height.
Building height. Okay. So the height requirement, Tom, you and I had some discussion about this today. At least my copy of the ordinance is still out of date because it has the old definition.
Yeah, that's been replaced. The planning board suggest actually at your recommend at the board's recommendation.
It's our recommendation.
The planning board suggests to the township council, and they revise the ordinance to give one overall definition of height.
So it doesn't vary by zone. It's correct.
Does not vary by zone.
At least I haven't gotten new sheets on it in my book, right?
Are you sure they know you have a book?
Yeah.
When's the last?
No, you haven't. You are not even on a list for having.
You're
a book.
Not on a book. You're not on the list.
They cut.
But that's why you're from
behind.
Huh?
You had one.
Oh my gosh!
Well, not
now
on
we
the
get
list.
The list, I guess.
Yeah, well,
you better get him on the list.
I don't know about that. But
oh, it's a thing.
Listen, Tom, you're going to be the definition of height was amended April 27th of 2016 in response to the board's annual report and the planning board. Suggestion.
Uh-oh.
Here's the height.
I used to get updates.
It used to be on. It's all on the website.
It's all on the website. It applies to all zones. The vertical height of building is defined.
Right.
The vertical distance measured from the average ground elevation of the finished grade around the building to the level of the highest point of the roof surface.
Mm-hmm.
Average elevation shall be the average of the highest and lowest elevations along the finished grade of the building. Very simple definition now. Applies to all zones.
Okay. And in this case, it's 16 feet.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's the maximum permitted.
For an accessory building.
So the applicant would be looking for a 2.5-foot variance. Mm-hmm. I think I heard him say 18 feet and a half, correct?
18 feet.
Mm-hmm.
Are these custom built? And then once are they like a... prefab
that
come in.
The height is determined by the pitch of the trusses that are used.
Right.
I can put a 5'12" truss on. That's in other words, that's 5 foot high, 12 foot run.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And that will be within 16 feet high. But it won't match the house.
Ah.
The reason.
Well, you have another. Wait a minute. You have another possibility. If you, instead of putting a slab on grade.
Not a slab on grade.
What about
pole barn?
Huh?
It's a pole barn.
I know, but what if you dug down? What if you dug out 2 feet? So you sunk your 18-foot-8 building 2 feet into the ground. The pitch would look exactly like your house, but the height is measured under the ordinance would be measured from the outside, not the inside, and you'd get under the 16 feet.
Can't, because of sheet flow. Mm-hmm. Rain, great. Water. I can't bury the building.
Yeah, was a thought.
So we, because it hasn't been properly noticed, we can't vote, but we can still take a straw poll, right? Whether people have an appetite to entertain this.
The 18-foot height request.
18 feet.
Purely architectural to match the existing structure.
Right.
That's it. That's
right.
All it's for.
It's not fun. Right. The appeal to the neighborhood is it looks better.
Right.
That's true.
He's arguing for a C2 variance and aesthetics. Mm-hmm. Purpose A is what he's arguing. So because he can comply, as he's testified, but it won't look as good as if you grant him the variance for the 18-foot, 8-inch height.
Right.
Correct? Okay. That's the argument, right?
That is exactly correct.
So on a non-binding basis, having not heard all the facts, knowing we'll come back another day, would you be open to hearing the argument on 18-8, or would you decide tonight not likely to happen?
I would hear the argument.
You'd hear the argument.
I would hear
it. Just one question before. I'd hear the argument, but you want to match the pitch of the roof. Would you also be matching the height of the roof on the house?
No.
So how high is the roof on the house?
30.
No. Oh, he's not.
I'm going to be close to. No, the height on the top of the garage, it's a two-story garage. So that it's going to be close to 30 feet. The peak of the house. The peak of the garage in the photograph that you have.
Okay. The garage is 30 feet. I think the 18 feet for the accessory structure is not unreasonable.
So it wouldn't cause you enough heartburn to say don't bother to come back? You do want to hear the
I'd certainly hear it, yeah.
John, you would as well?
We had just such a variance about 2 years ago when I wanted to have a garage where you had a car lift inside it, and to match the pitch of the roof of the garage with his existing house, and
we granted
that. So I'm not sure we can grant it this time. We'll have to listen to all that testimony. But
it was down on Country Place, right?
Yeah.
Do you want to hear the argument?
Yes.
Okay. Anybody not? Not willing to at least entertain the argument?
I'd entertain
The exterior of the pole barn, is that going to match the house as well?
Yes.
Same siding?
Same siding, 6-inch mill, rough mill, red cedar, stain to match. And the roof will be using the same shingles, not a metal roof or, that these guys use most of the time.
So it sounds like there's a reasonable chance that you might get the height variance, but you'd have to make a pretty compelling case for the side yard setback. That's
okay.
What I think I heard. Did you hear the same thing?
Lastly,
so you got to renotice. If you send me the notice before you publish it, I'll review it and let you know if there's any adjustments should be made to it.
Sure.
Yeah. Do you want anything other or in addition to Exhibit A4, which was the taped on, representation of the barn? I don't want any surprise. I don't want to have him come back and have renoticed and then someone say that they're not satisfied with the documents on that. So why don't you just...
I would, because I think Sharon Stevens asked the right question. Is the photograph of the barn the same scale as the photograph of the background, and I didn't hear any compelling evidence that convinced me it was. So I'm not sure whether it's the right scale or not. I think Sharon asked exactly
because you realize that if you grant that variance, what do you think the resolution is going to say? It's going to say the pitch has to be substantially similar to the one in the house, and it's got to be substantially similar to, what he submits. Right. So can I make a suggestion? I would contact the pole barn guy, because to get a construction permit, they're going to have to do a drawing.
Oh,
tell the guy if he wants the business, do the drawing now. He'll do the drawing, and then submit the drawing, the two scale drawing.
Then we can rely on the drawing.
Right. Then they can rely on the drawing.
No problem doing that.
There was also going to suggest maybe some more site photos that show a more complete picture of that back area, the existing trees, possibly also the buffer area between you and the neighboring.
Again, that's if he wants to make the argument about saving the trees with that. Again, they just straw polled. I don't think they do.
Okay, so we're not going there.
Well, if he's not going for the setback, we all.
Right.
I'm
just talking about the height.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Any other advice for the applicant?
Can I just ask one question, John? When we started, I didn't hear. Maybe I was looking something else. Notices that were sent out and everything was
good. No, I mean.
Well, I mean, other than the 18 foot, but I mean, were there notices sent out?
Oh, yeah, notices were sent out.
That part of the notice is
okay. That part of the notice was fine, but the contents of the notice end up being bad.
Correct.
I do have one additional question before we leave. Resolution. Mm-hmm. Abandons. The driveway that you're trying to connect with, how are you connecting? Like, are you going to have, like, a space of dirt or grass or gravel or whatever between the pole barn and the driveway, regardless of which way you put it?
Well, it depends on which way we put it, but I had not planned on extending the driveway, except if you look at the drawing, there is a roll-up door at on the house end of it that we probably would pave, just to get to that.
So you'd extend the driveway to the roll-up
door? We'd extend the driveway probably 2 or 3 feet.
Right. No. Okay. Can you also, a sketch, if you would, a floor plan as to these different spaces?
Actually,
how they fit with
listen, it. Have the pole barn guy, again, if you're going to give the pole barn guy this business, we've had other, they will do a drawing for you. They'll do elevation.
Right.
They'll do a section of the roof to show it matches the house, and they'll do a floor plan.
Okay.
And on the floor plan, just you, I think you mentioned this, it's increments of 8 feet, and therefore the 40 by 24 is the size you need for the shop you need. So 16 by 24, some other size is not optimal for you.
It's really not, because the workflow around the machines.
Right, okay.
It becomes a safety issue.
Okay.
Of you know, getting things, handling a long piece of wood.
Right, right.
Through a 3 or 5 horsepower saw. Can be very dangerous.
Okay. Yeah, I was just asking because obviously one way around setbacks is smaller structure.
Yeah. No.
Mm-hmm.
And there are different sections to it. One is for flat wood, building furniture. Yeah. The other thing is turning, which is a big lathe that sits.
Right.
So it's very different.
So you've laid this out in 24 by 40 is what you want, is the size you want.
It's
got it.
I would have liked it larger, but it can't be.
Oh, okay.
You have any other questions for us?
Hey, Jackie. The other guy on 40 by 60.
Mr. Mandel, do you have any other questions for us?
No, thank you. Okay. I appreciate your time.
Okay, good. We'll see you at a future meeting then, right?
Okay.
All right, thank you.
Okay, so we're holding this application over, right?
Well, this application is being continued, but he has to re-notice.
Yes.
So we're not making the announcement that it's continued without further notice. He's got to re-notice.
Right, it's re-noticed for the next meeting.
Right, mm-hmm. So that's up to him. Whenever you want. I mean, if you want to be heard.
I do have a question on the notice, if I can.
Yeah.
I understand I had to follow statute, or I think I did, from the standpoint of the number of people, or the identities of people.
The 200 footers and the newspaper.
Okay. But, for instance, we don't have water. We don't have township water.
Okay.
We don't have township sewer.
Right.
What does Comcast care about this?
That's what the statute says. You have to notice all those utilities.
Okay, so that's the statute. And
that's the statute.
And there's,
yep.
There's no choice. You know.
That's correct.
Yeah.
The board does not. There's a case that says when the board tried to deviate from that, they didn't have jurisdiction.
Okay, I understand. That's the answer to the question. I mean, it's funny that I got all the green cards back from wherever else they went, except from the neighbors.
Right.
I didn't get them.
And you realize you don't even need the green cards. All you need is certified mail. You need the certified mails, either computer time stamp or hand stamp. The green cards are just for if someone who got the certified mail came in and told the board, I didn't get it.
No, I understand.
Then the green card, you can make them look foolish. But the fact that you have the stamped certified mail is all you need under the statute.
Okay. All right. Thank you again.
Okay, thanks.
You're welcome.
Very good. Thank you.
Okay, last item for the night is Platypus Resolution version 3, John. I thought I had emailed version 3, but my print was version 2.
Yes, it's going to, yeah, version 3. Now, version 3 was on the file name that went out. I forgot to put it in the upper left-hand corner, so it would be version, right now it says version 2, mm-hmm. and it still says 419. It will be 723, version 3. But the only difference in what I sent out from what I had before is on page 6, but I'm going to have one more suggested addition. So let's start with what I emailed out. On page 6, condition number 2, the time within which to revise the plans and other documents and obtain signatures on the plan. We added in orange, at Brian Bosenberg's suggestion and Kathy Marcelli agreeing with him. Mm-hmm. First, I'll put what I had added in red in April. I had added, in addition to the revisions to the site plans, architectural drawings, and other documents required by condition number 1 of resolution 2015-15, the applicant shall revise all documents by drawings and or notes to the satisfaction of the township engineer to provide for the demolition and proper removal and disposal of the residential building, period. What Brian Bosenberg added and Kathy agreed with, and it's in orange, this includes revisions to the satisfaction of the township landscape architect to reflect the removal of the residential dwelling and to update the landscape plan to provide adequate screening of the commercial use from Route 22. And then, before I came out here, I was thinking about it, and I realized, and we got one other problem. And so, if you go to page 5, the fourth item of relief is entitled Amendment of Site Plan Approvals, memorialized in Resolution Number 2015-15, to require demolition of the residential building on the property, period. And what I had added in red in April was, subject to the conditions set forth below, the board hereby amends the site plan approvals as memorialized in Resolution Number 2015-15 to require demolition of the residential building on the property, period. Then what I realized is I have to put a comma and add, in accordance with revised site plans as required by the conditions below. That means the site plan has to be revised to satisfy Brian, and the site plan approval is revised to say, okay, what you're allowed to build is what's shown on that revised site plan that, to right. Brian's satisfaction, and that's what's going to be signed by the appropriate municipal officials. Right. So with those two changes and the last change being on page 6, instead of being, first this thing was supposed to be adopted in April, now it's going to be adopted July 23, 2018. So with that, the following five members are eligible to vote. Bylis, Glazer, Lewis, Mattson, and McCaffrey. Right. So can one of you guys make a motion to adopt what's going to be version 3 of the resolution with the revisions I just read into the record, and in the upper left-hand corner we'll have today's date, 7/23/2018, on it?
So moved.
Second.
I'm sorry, was that Mr. Bylis?
Yes, Bylis moved it. And Mr. Mattson seconded it.
Okay. So, Mr. Bylis?
Yes.
Mr. Glazer?
Yes.
Dr. Lewis?
Yes.
Mr. Mattson?
Yes.
And Mr. McCaffrey?
Yes.
The motion carries.
Okay.
Done.
Done. This thing has got to be the longest lingering resolution. Sometimes you have this big case and you figure in and think it's adopted in one night. And you have this small little thing and it just lingers and lingers and lingers. It's like
four pages of whereases. I think we'll go for 5.
Huh. I think Zinn's gaining on it, though.
Oh,
yeah. Well, Zinn's closing in.
Zinn's gaining on extensions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
have to go back and look now, see what other cases we've had going on for years.
What was that?
Yeah, should we adjourn? Or?
Motion,
oh, yeah. Motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn. Motion to adjourn. I hear one.
Yeah. Right, just,
and a second.
Second.
Did you get that?
Everybody.
Yeah.
Pick anybody.
All in favor?
Aye.
Done.
So that self-storage place that was going to be up on Route 31,
oh,
it was
yeah.
the shopping yeah. center.